Well, guys, I am starting a new sermon series, and we're going to be in the book of John, and it's going to take us a while, and I'm good with that. And so I hope you're good with that, because we're going to do it whether you're good with it or not. It's good to be the king sometimes. But the idea is, especially today is going to be kind of like an introduction. So I'm going to be reading some scripture, I'm going to expound on the scripture, but then I may throw in a couple Paulisms or notes to kind of help us kind of go forward a little bit. Is that okay with everybody? Okay, everybody except for Sandra. Everybody's good with that. Open up your Bibles to the book of John. We're not in 1 John, 2 John, or 3 John. We are in the book of John, the Gospel of John. And if you don't have a Bible, there may be one up under your seats. You can find it on your cell phones. You can do whatever. But just turn to the book of John, because I want us all there together. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. NRK en hologos ke hologos en proston theon ke theos en hologos. That's John 1 in the Greek. Listen again. NRK en hologos. Logos we know is the word, right? In the beginning, RK, in the beginning is the word. Kai and hologos and the word en proston was with theon, was with God. And theos en hologos. Listen to this again. Ke hologos en proston theon ke theos. The word was with God and the word was God. Let's open up our Bibles again to John. And I want to read the first 18 chapters. Woo! Yeah, we're going to get through John in 1 week, okay? So just hang on to your hats. We're going to be here for about 7 or 8 hours, but other than that. The gospel according to John says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will or the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And now John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." There's a lot to unpack in this section here, so I just kind of want to break it down. You guys know that I'm an Atlanta United fan, and I used to have season tickets, and in fact, I'm playing in the last Godspell today. As soon as that's over, me and Tony are heading to his house, and we're recording the game or the match. So if you know what the score is before we do, please don't text us saying, like, congratulations or I'm sorry about your team. We don't want to know, because we want to watch the game, okay? That's how I am. Now, I tell you that because I'm such an Atlanta United guy that I look at the message boards. I want to see what the people are saying, and especially since the team has gone through some transitions this year. Tony and I were scratching our heads going, like, we don't even recognize some of the people on the team. So I'm reading what other people are saying about it. What are people saying about this? What are people saying about that? And I find that with the supporter groups, with the message boards, with news articles, I'm getting information about Atlanta United. So why are we studying the book of John? We're going to study the book of John because we want to know more about who Jesus Christ is. And we can get on our knees and we can pray to God and we can say, "God, just illuminate us." And God, in his wisdom and his might and his glory, he could do that. But he has given us his word, and we can dive into his word. It's almost like a blog or a supporters group. We can get in here, and we could see what John says about Jesus Christ, who he is, what he is, what he came to do, everything we want to know about Jesus Christ, John is going to tell us. Now, why John? We have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Those are the four Gospels. And if you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they call, you know, they're pretty much the same. They talk about Jesus' miracles. They talk about his exorcisms. They talk about these chronology things. John doesn't do that. John doesn't talk about any parables in the book of John. None. There's none of the exorcisms in there. John doesn't follow the chronology of the other Gospels. You know, he may put something here, and then something over here, then something over here, because he's not trying to give us a timeline of Jesus Christ. He is trying to give us Jesus Christ. He's trying to give us the Son of God, God himself. He's trying to give us and tell us who he is so that there's no question about it. Again, why John? Well, Matthew was a disciple. Luke wasn't. Mark wasn't. John was, so you have Matthew and John, but John was in the inner circle. Matthew wasn't even in the inner circle. He was just one of the 12 disciples. You know, he got to hang around and argue about, you know, hey, this is good, let's go do this. Hey, what are we doing? That kind of thing. John was in the inner circle with his brother James and with Peter. And so they knew Christ intimately. So when John says that this is God, this is the Son of God, this is the Son of Man, this is who Jesus Christ is, this is what he came to do, we can know that this is the truth because he was there with him the whole time. It's an eyewitness account. The other three Gospels, they call them the Synoptic Gospels. And Donald, this is kind of like for you. It's two words, syn, meaning with, S-Y-N, not S-I-N, syn, with. Optics means to see, and it means we get this clear vision. And it means that they were together in words, and the whole thing means that it was a shared vision. But in John, again, it's totally different. John focuses on Jesus' teaching, because Jesus' teaching tells us who he is, his identity, his unique relationship with the Father. And he wants us to know that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God who has come to reveal God the Father. And salvation only comes by knowing God the Father through Christ, his Son. And so that's what John is painting for us. And what's interesting about this gospel, that besides John just being this eyewitness, he changes the word sin, which means with, to pros. Did you get that when I was saying that he is the ho logos, en pros ton theon kai theos en logos? In other words, he doesn't say sin with, he's saying pros, meaning face to face. In other words, I can, you know, it would be crazy if I said, hey, I was with the podium today. Because it's like an inanimate object. That would be like the S-Y-N, sin. But if I said, man, I was with the congregation today. It's personal and it means something. And so when he says, in the beginning was God, the Father, and the Word, the Son, and the Word was with God, they were there together. And then the Word became flesh, and the Word was God. Now, to my Jehovah's Witness friends that come to my door occasionally, and this is an aside, a rabbit trail, my next door neighbor, Cassandra, we pray for her, and you know Joy and Omar. Cassandra's son, who lives in Arizona, is really big in Jehovah's Witness. And so he's all the time telling Cassandra, hey, you gotta know this kind of stuff. And she's like, I'll tell you who to call, Paul. So I get knocks on my door all the time, special delivery from her son all the way in Arizona with these two people, and they tried to tell me that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. And if you read it in their Bible, that's what it says, and the Word was a God, because there's an implied article in there. The problem is, when John uses theon and theos, He uses it five different times throughout the gospel, and every single time it doesn't mean a God, it means the God. So when John says, in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, he's not saying the Word was a God. He is saying, you got God the Father, and you got God the Son. And in our Trinitarian nature that we grow up in the Reformation churches and things, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We don't worship three separate gods. We worship one God in three different persons. And if that's hard to grasp, that's okay, because we're going to read a story a little bit later on as we study John about Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is like, I don't get this either. What are you talking about? Okay? It's okay, but we're going to dive in here. We're going to parse out this stuff, and we're going to see what he says. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The first thing John starts off telling us is that Jesus of Nazareth is God. He wants us to go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in that beginning was not just God. And then he says, you know what, I need to, the people are going to sin, so in my plan, I need to get my son. No, the whole time, Jesus is there. As we continue in John, we see that there is this connection that he's talking about here, that all things, verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, he's not saying that God the Father... He's saying Jesus. Jesus is the one who things were made through and for. And without Jesus, there was not anything made that was made. That's what he says in verse 3. The Word created these things. And that's an absolute statement. There's not a way to make this clear that Jesus is God. You can argue this and people could tell you, no, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Open up your Bibles, read his word. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome. Not only life, but light. And the life was the light of men, and God said, let there be light. There was light, and God saw the light was good. John 5, if you skip over to 5, he says this, just as the Father has life in himself, so the Father has granted the Son also to have life in him. And we can't come to the Father without the Son. And so there's this interconnection that's going on. Then we get to verses 6 through 8. We just want to skip through those for right now because it's talking about John the Baptist, not John the Apostle. And so we'll get to that next week a little bit. So Jesus is God. Jesus is creator. Why is this important? Because if Jesus is our creator, if all life is made through him, things were created through him and for him and by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. If that is the truth, and it is, then we owe our total allegiance to Jesus. If he is our creator, if he is our Lord, if he's our master, if he's our God, then we owe him our total allegiance. Not just lip service, not just occasionally doing things. It's everything about us is for him. He's not just a merely good human teacher. He's not a philosopher. He doesn't just do some miracles and like, wow, what a great guy. We just want to hang out with him. Wow, you hungry? Man, this guy can feed you a whole fish sandwich and till you're full. And then if you want some more, you know, there's a bunch in some baskets later on. He's not a great blogger. He is something categorically different. He is God, the Son, and our Creator. And we have life in him. And only in him. So there are three things that I want to kind of hit on today in these first passages here. That first off, Jesus is our Redeemer. John wants us to know that. Jesus comes to be God the Redeemer, the God who redeems and saves his creation. In other words, through Jesus Christ, we have reconciliation with God the Father. If Jesus, the Word, who existed from the beginning, why would he go anywhere where he would be despised and rejected? John says this is a key part of his glory, that he was sent in the world to be lifted up and not to be adored, but to be crucified. And that there is in that humility, in that weakness, in that suffering, in the death of Jesus, that is where we see the glory of God. John 1, verses 10 and 11, it says this, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. You know, the idea of, you know, here is Jesus, and he's coming, and he's telling us about, in my Father's kingdom, my Father's kingdom is like this. My Father's house is like this. My Father is like this. And he's giving us these clear pictures of God. Now, the Israelites knew about God, and they worshiped God. In fact, they worshiped him to the T, and the worship became almost their idol. In other words, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And Jesus comes as our Redeemer to make sure, like, hey, it doesn't matter how much you follow the law, you're never going to get it right. The whole law was given to show us how far we are from God. He's coming, and he says, you know, and the people are saying, like, no, it can't be that way. We're just going to follow these laws, and we should be fine, right? And Jesus is like, no. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what he says. And if Jesus is God and he makes a statement like that, then you got to take it at full value. You know, C.S. Lewis says, you know, you have to say that he's either who he says he is, or he's a madman, or even worse, you know, he's demonic, evil. I kind of misquoted all of that, but that's the gist of it. Jesus is our Redeemer. The rejection of Jesus, this misunderstanding of Jesus, that's not the main part of the story. We see that, and looking back on this side of history, we look back at Jesus and say, like, man, if I'd have been there, I'd have got it. No, we wouldn't. We would have been just like those people. As long as those miracles were coming, man, we were on there. But when he started saying, no, sell everything, follow me, lay down your life, follow me, and people started to go away, we do the same thing today. We pray to God and we see an answer to prayer and we say, God, thank you. And then 2 weeks later, we need God to answer a prayer again and he doesn't. And you know what we do? Forget you, God. Our things are going right in our life and we got a great week going on. Things are, you know, just popping along. We don't even think about God. Oh, yeah, we got prayer going on every day in the month of March. I don't need prayer today. Because things are happening good today. So we do the same thing. And if we were back then, we wouldn't say, like, oh, yeah, I would have followed. Even the disciples, the 12, it's amazing to me when Jesus was being betrayed and when he was arrested, the disciples are the ones that left. You know who stuck around? The women. The women were the last to leave the cross, and they were the first to get to the grave on Resurrection Day. It was the women. The guys were all hiding, biting their nails, going like, "Woo! I hope they don't come for me." Verse 12 says this, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Jesus the Redeemer came to make us God's children, to give us a new name. You go back to the prophet Hosea, and it says he has these three children by his wife Gomer, which means perfect, which is weird because the only Gomer I knew was Gomer Pyle, and he was anything but perfect. But Gomer was perfect, but she was a prostitute. And God says, marry her. And he has these three kids, and the first one is not my people, not loved, no mercy. But then God changes their name to, you are my people. You are loved. You do have mercy. And that's what God does to us today through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. He says, you know, you once were lost in sin, but now you're alive. You were dead. Now I've given you new life. You used to not have a family. Now you have a family. And that's what Jesus is telling us. So Jesus is our Redeemer. The second thing I think John is telling us in these verses here is Jesus is a mediator. What do I mean by mediator? Well, a mediator is someone that kind of gets in between two people that may be fighting or can't seem to get together. And a mediator kind of is impartial in one sense, but has a connection to both sides. See, God is perfect. When Moses says, "Hey, God, show me your glory," Joe read for us today, you know, he couldn't. He says, "Man, you can't see me and live, Moses. You know, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in this rock, in this cleft, and I'm going to pass by. Basically, you're going to see my backside, and that's going to be enough for you." And so God goes on by, and Moses just catches a glimpse. But Jesus comes, and in Jesus, we see the fullness of God. We see God the Father. We know what God the Father is like. We know what his heart is like. We know what his mind is like. We want to be like him. And so Jesus is our mediator because he is God, but he's also man. He is fully God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Get that right? Jesus is God, but Jesus is man. He was incarnated. That's the fancy $100 theology word, the incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was tempted in every way that we were. He was hungry. He was abandoned. He was betrayed. He was sad. He was lonely. He was hungry. And so when he mediates between us and God, and it says later on when he ascended back into heaven, he sits now at the right hand of God, and he continues to intercede on our behalf because he knows what it's like to live here. He knows what this life is like, and this life is hard. It's hard. And he knows. And so Jesus is this perfect mediator. Verse 14. The most important words, I think, in the Greek we ever read, and the Word became flesh. When the Word became flesh, we finally got the presence of God. The Word became flesh, and what? It dwelt among us. The word for dwelt is tabernacle. He became the tabernacle. And if you remember in Israel history, that they created this tent, and so they can move the tent where God resided, and they could go to their next station and the next station. And the tabernacle always went with them, and that's where God resided. And so the presence of God himself was with his people. And because of Jesus Christ and our salvation through him, he is here with us. Where two or three are gathered, he says, "I'm in the midst of you." You know, I remember Lena one time. We went down to Florida, and I've shared this story, I think, a long time ago. And we're driving down to Florida, and all of a sudden, she just screams in the back seat. And we're thinking, like, what is going on? And she is talking about this beautiful sunrise, or not even sun. It was like the sunset, but, you know, the sky was just these gorgeous colors. And Lena's like, "Dad, that is so beautiful." And I'm sitting there, I wanted to tell her, you know, because of the pollution and because of all of the stuff in our sky, it creates these different colors. You know me, I want to ruin everything for everybody. But she was right. In other words, there was this huge vision, this whole picture that God painted for us. And then you get down to, you know, Florida or whatever, and you could buy a postcard of that, and you could look at it and say, "Isn't that a pretty picture?" But you know what? It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. And looking at Jesus and knowing what we know about Jesus and just reading his words, you say, like, that's nice. But yet, when all of a sudden it becomes real and it becomes huge, it is life-changing. Do you get that? You know, Lena, one of the things that she struggled with was if Jesus lives in us and is in our heart, but yet he's bigger than everything, how does he fit in there? You know, it's like, well, Lena, the thing that Jesus wants us to do, once he fills us, he wants us to be so full that it's just coming out of us. There's not enough room in us to hold him back. But what do? We try to squash it down because we don't want it to interfere with who we are. Don't be a postcard. Be the sky. And then it says this, we have seen his glory, the glory is of the Father, the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John tells us exactly why he is writing this to us. In John 20, verse 31, he says this, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's what John tells us from the very beginning. This is who Jesus is. This is why Jesus has come. The glory of God, the presence of God, God with us. Man, I am excited to jump into this book. At first, I was kind of overwhelmed. And, I don't even know if you can see this, but in my Bible, you know, I've already got, you know, I'm just like chunking stuff and circling stuff and words. And, oh, man, this is Jesus here. This is Jesus here. This, you know, and I'm just like, I want you to do that, you know. I don't want you to sit here and go like, yeah, Paul, that's great. Good job. And then as soon as you go out and go like, go back to normal. Because there is no normal. Not when Jesus Christ is alive. And if Jesus Christ is our God and Jesus Christ is alive and he is not only God, but he is our creator, he is our mediator, he is everything, and his presence is with us. We need to live like that. John wants us to believe, because apart from Jesus, there is no life. Apart from Jesus, there's only death, there's corruption, there's chaos, there's every wicked thing that has ever entered the world through sin. It says Jesus is the light. He has life in him. Jesus is the one who can give us God. Do you get that? Do you believe that? Is Jesus your hope? Is Jesus your light? Is Jesus your life? Is he the word about which you just can't get enough? I want to keep reading. I want to know more. I want more. Let's give ourselves the careful attention to reading of this book. I want you to go back this week and read these 18 verses, and I want you to pray on these 18 verses. And I want you to see how Jesus is revealing himself to you through John. You know, when it says the word became flesh, the word for flesh is sars. And it's a crass word, and it would have never been used, because in Hebrew teaching and in Hebrew thinking, the idea was if anything good happened, that was spiritual. And it was a spiritual realm. But if anything happened in the flesh or in the sars, it was earthly, it was base, it was not good. So you had good and you had bad. You know, it was two separate things. But here he's saying the word became flesh. In that very crass, in that very base, in that very mess, in that very sin-filled world, Jesus Christ is born. And he lived a perfect life because he knew we couldn't. And then he gave up his life for us. I mean, the whole focus is on that John 3:16, that God so loved the world. God so loved us. God so loved his creation that he gave his only Son, that if we believe in him, we'll have life. Is that what we believe? Is that our hope, or are we just kind of throwing it out there? Most of all, as you read through these 18 verses again this week and kind of pray through these, I want you to ask God to open up your heart to see, where am I lacking in faith in Jesus? Where am I saying like, yeah, I say this, but I don't know if I believe this. Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Would you pray with me? Father, what a scandal that Jesus came into this world and became a human just like us in all of the crazy ways that we can imagine. Hungry, tired, alone, abandoned, happy, sad. Father, I pray that we would understand that Jesus became like us so that we could get to you, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could have life, so that we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, when we leave this plane that we're on, that we will be with you forever in a just glorious place. Father, I pray that there won't be an unbelieving heart among us this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit, Father, would just knock down every barrier to faith that we have, the questions that we have, the things that we're saying, yeah, but what about, what about, what about, what about? I pray, Father, that we would lay hold of Jesus Christ through faith by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray as we read through this gospel that we begin to intimately know Jesus better. And it's not just knowing about him, but Father, we get to know him better. And we grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, we pray all these things in the name of your great Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Mediator, Jesus. Amen.